Vet Voice. We can do it. I would like to thank Ken Olson for the heartfelt article about the West Los Angeles VA property mismanagement and its disregard in helping our homeless veterans. December. More people need to be educated about this tragic situation. Carrie L. Holm Eberling, Greenfield, Minnesota. On Civil Discourse. I was pleased to receive in my email, the Veterans Day video, a call for civil discourse for veterans. As leaders and respected members of our communities, veterans have an opportunity and responsibility to bring our nation back to civil and productive conversations. That's why I was dismayed to read in Vet Voice, December, a published comment stating that Democrats will bicker and stall while our troops are in harm's way. Let's set an example for civil discourse in our own conversations and hold all our fellow veterans responsible for this task at hand. Jan Kennedy, Lithopolis, Ohio. A mission to save lives. Regarding the December commander's message, the death of any veteran by suicide is heartbreaking, but it is not wise to use and reuse statistically misleading and false information to gain support for veterans while making veterans in general appear a helpless and troubled group when the opposite is true. In my volunteer work at VA medical centers in Michigan and Florida, I have had many discussions with fellow veterans concerning their embarrassment and concern about being seen as incapable buffoons needing to be led by the hand through life. This column does nothing to change that perception, particularly for combat-hardened and wounded vets like me. In reality, the majority of veteran suicides are carried out by vets who never experienced combat and or have never been deployed to a combat zone. I do agree with your premise of reaching out to veterans in need of assistance. However, the words and actions of well-meaning but misinformed groups and individuals only increases public perception damage to veterans in general, in my opinion. Pete Van Til, Hudsonville, Michigan. Raising the minimum wage. I do not agree with Representative Mike Johnson about not raising the minimum wage. Big issues, December. What members of Congress do not take into account is how much more is deducted from people's paychecks today. In 1964, when I was 19, there were only a low federal tax and FICA, and FICA stopped after $4,600 was earned. Robert McGeegan, Westland, Michigan. Representative Andy Levine says that raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour would at least be enough for hardworking Americans to provide for themselves and their families. That means they would receive $600 a week. That would be $31,200 per year, putting them over the poverty floor of $25,750. What he doesn't say is that businesses will scale back on these jobs, as evidenced by McDonald's and other minimum wage payers putting in kiosks so you can order your food and bypass a laid-off cashier. When people get a raise in the minimum wage, the nation's small businesses must raise their prices because they cannot absorb it. Thus, that $15 an hour job has to pay more for what they want. Did they gain? Steve Gallant, Auburn, Massachusetts. Representative Mike Johnson's reasons for not raising the federal minimum wage are absolutely true, and if one would do some research on the matter, they would see how politics are the only reason for raising it. Charles Busby, Dripping Springs, Texas. To date, I have not heard anyone mention the possibility that the main benefactor of higher wages might be the government in collecting higher taxes. I saw a piece about a worker who consistently turned down a promotion and a higher wage because, as a single father, he would lose such benefits as child care, which even with the higher wage, he would not be able to afford. Warren Abrams, Milner, Georgia. Buskirk, Great Legionnaire. The December issue has a nice piece on our friend George Buskirk, Rapid Fire. However, it alludes to his appointment as National Treasurer in 1988. I believe that was 1998. American Legion past National Commander, 1999 to 2000, Al Lance, Culpeper, Virginia. Pearl Harbor remembered. I enjoyed the short article about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Rapid Fire, December. But as much as you can train or be prepared, fate is one thing no one can control. A month prior to the attack, USS Arizona was damaged during fleet maneuvers just before it was to head to San Francisco to be outfitted with radar and other modern equipment. Arizona remained for the repairs needed to go back to the States and was not supposed to be at Pearl Harbor on December 7th. In all, 2,403 sailors, Marines, soldiers, and Hawaiian civilians lost their lives on that day. Had Arizona been in San Francisco, there would have been 1,177 fewer casualties. Luckily, our carriers were not there. Had they been in port, the war in the Pacific could have lasted until almost 1950, and I doubt our first offensive would have been in Europe. Husband Kimmel, commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet at the time of the attack, was blamed for the loss of men and ships, but was not given credit for sending the carriers and faster warships to go out and look for a Japanese task force they felt was headed somewhere. As my dad, a World War II Navy veteran, once said, "The biggest word in the English language is if." Terry A. Podgy, Mokena, Illinois. Not the end of history. I was outraged when I read Alan Dowd's article about Germany, November. Having been born in Scotland and lived there during the war, and having experienced the visits of the Luftwaffe during the Clydebank Blitz, what was done for Germany after the war makes my blood boil. I had relatives serving in the British Army who would bring food parcels when they came home on leave. We were still on rationing until 1950, and we were supposed to be on the winning side. How many good men died during the Berlin airlift? That's another point. We should never have allowed the Berlin Wall to be built. The way I see it, the big mistake we made was using the second A-bomb on Nagasaki. Gilbert Hunter, East Longmeadow, Massachusetts. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206. Magazine at legion.org.